Since this is my first Mass here, I think I should start by thanking everyone for praying for me. Seems that the word about my heart went out, and I had been very touched to hear so many people praying for my good health. And thanks be to God, I got a good report from my cardiac catheterization or coronary angiogram. So in fact, it was such a good report that I was cleared to travel and I didn't have to change any plans. So thanks be to God. I said at the time to our community in the Philippines, who also were praying very hard, I said, I will never know if I had a condition and it was healed because of everybody's prayers, or if I didn't really have a problem in the first place. I won't know. The power of prayer. In any case, thanks be to God. Now, today's gospel certainly is about prayer, so it's a good start. The Lord is actually a continuation from yesterday. Remember, yesterday the apostle said, "Lord, teach us how to pray," and Jesus said, "Well, say, Father, hallowed be your name." So this is a continuation on prayer, and it fills out or helps us understand the, I don't want to say the complexity of prayer, but the complex experience of prayer maybe would be a better way to put it, because prayer in itself is not complex. But what we do and how we interpret what God does, we can really make a mess out of it. So that's what we can say. It's like talking to somebody who's locked in his house. Well, God is not locked in any house. And it's no problem for him to get up in the middle of the night. So that's just what we do to our interpretation of prayer. Now, when I saw, speaking of getting up in the middle of the night, because I've only been in the country a few days and I'm still adjusting, I wake up in the middle of the night. And this morning I woke up, I'm in a strange place, and I looked at the readings, naturally, and the first thing that came to my mind, I said, oh, this is about prayer. The first thing that came to my mind was a lecture or a talk that I heard, gosh, way back when I was in college. A man was teaching us how to pray, which is what everybody wants. How do you pray? How do you pray? So he said, okay, there's the five P's of prayer. Maybe you've heard this. Probably it was a standard thing back then in the charismatic days. The five P's of prayer. Pick a period, meaning a time period, pick a time, but he said period because it was P. So pick a period, pick a passage, pick a place, pick a posture, and pray. pretty clever. Right? Pick a time. So yeah, we should all set aside time for prayer. And if we don't, then we won't have any time. You know how it is. We're always too busy or something interrupts us. So having a mess in the middle of the day, by the way, is really a challenge because, I prayed this morning, but by the time I get to noon, I've already been doing other things and I can't remember what I prayed about. Anyway, so pick a time, a period. What was it? Pick a passage. Okay. Pick a passage of scripture. Pick a place where you will be able to focus. Pick a posture. You're going to sit, going to stand, kneel, prostrate, or whatever, and then pray. When it comes to pick a passage, even at that time, I think even then I knew that that won't work because either I won't know what to pick or I'll pick something that I like. I've always loved the liturgy for this reason, for one of many reasons, but it gives us the passages. It gives us two readings every day and we don't have to pick something, you know, flip open the Bible or go through some kind of a course. Here we're reading from Luke's gospel on prayer. And this is the kind of passage we might like to pick out. Oh, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find. Oh, I'd love to say that. I'll get anything I want. And that's, you know, we take a passage that we like, we interpret it the way we like to interpret it. And then instead of praying, we just end up telling ourselves what we already think. Well, that's not prayer. So, and who would ever pick this passage? Oh, stupid Galatians. No one's ever going to pick that for prayer. But the liturgy sets it before us and says, okay, see, no, maybe Paul pretty strong in his language. Are you so stupid? Stupid Galatians? Are you bewitched? What's wrong with you people? Well, sometimes we need to be told that. Now, And we don't choose to be told that. Someone has to tell us. You know, we don't go, here, tell me that I'm stupid. You know, we don't do that. But sometimes we have to be told that. Now, as I reflected on that five P's of prayer, it's good. I mean, it's all fine. But there is something very big missing in that. And if you think about it, you might realize it right away. Where's God? And where's God? I mean, I'm picking this. I'm doing the whole thing. I'm the prayer. I'm praying, and I'm doing it right, and I'm going to make it all work out. Which is not really how prayer begins. All those things have their place, but prayer doesn't begin with me. Prayer begins with God. God puts in our hearts a desire to pray. Even that passage yesterday, Lord, teach us to pray, which is itself a prayer. Teach us to pray. God inspiring us to draw close to him and to recognize that we don't know how to do it, it gives us a kind of a momentum to draw closer to God. That's why what people usually do when they pray is, this is a standard expression in the Philippines, let us place ourselves in the presence of God. Did that ever said here at the beginning of a prayer? See, I forget what's here and what's there, but that's very common when someone says, okay, let's pray. And then whoever is the prayer leader will stand up and say, oh, let us place ourselves in the presence of God, or let us recall that we are in the presence of God. Before we talk to God, we have to know that we're with him. So that's a much better than saying, pick a place, pick a passage, pick a posture and all that stuff. It's all good, but you get the point. Prayer is all about our relationship with God. It's not just about what we do, what we already think, and what passages we already like. It's about relationship. And in relationships, as everybody knows, I mean, most of you are married, and especially in marriage, but in any close relationship, sometimes people tell us what we like, and sometimes people tell us what we don't want to hear, but we should hear. My good friends, sometimes they say really glowing things about me. Oh, that was really good. You're really good at that. Oh, I feel so good about myself. And then sometimes they say, you should never have done that. And it's true. But, you know, I didn't ask them to tell me that. They said, well, you should have been, you know, more patient with that person. You should not have said it like that. Well, thanks a lot. But I am grateful for that, because that's what a friend does. And that's what the Lord does. When we pray, sometimes he tells us, ask and you shall receive. Sometimes he tells us, oh, you stupid Galatians. So that's the relationship of prayer. That's why when Jesus said, this is how you should pray, the very first word he used was Father, Father. It was clear in yesterday's gospel, because he didn't put in the word our for whatever reason. It's just, Father, hallowed be your name. But even in the more traditional one that's in Matthew's gospel, in English, it's our Father, because that's how English works. You have to put the whatever it is, the adjective before the noun. But in Greek, it's pater, hemon, Father, our. But Father is the first word. But when we pray, we're talking to the Father. Now, we have in these readings, an interesting, what I found interesting, a little bit of a change between what Luke says about prayer and what Matthew says in the parallel passage, because both of them say, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened, almost exactly the same words. Everyone who asks receives. We know those passages are both the same. But when it gets to the part where Jesus says, you who are fathers know how to give good things to your children, therefore, how much more does our Father in heaven give good things to us? In Matthew's gospel, it says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? But in Luke's gospel, it says, how much more will the Holy Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? As if to say, the good things that we're asking for are not necessarily the good thing that God wants to give. He wants to give us the Holy Spirit. It's a nice thing to reflect on, because what are the good things? What are we really asking for? And are the things that we're asking for at all what God wants for us? Let me tell a little story. I hope you don't mind. Last night, I borrowed a car in New Jersey and I drove up here. So I don't know the car. I don't know what it looks like. I mean, I know kind of what it looks like. So I drove here to the house last night. We had a meeting. After the meeting, I walked out. I'm staying up in the rectory. So I walked out of the house. It's dark. I pull out this this key thing with all the buttons. And I walked over to the car and I pushed one of the buttons and I heard a beeping sound. And I tried the handle. It wasn't open. So I said, I don't know which button it is. I can't see. I pushed another button. Beep, beep, beep. Pull the handle. Nothing happens. I leaned over near the street light and tried, okay, it's this button. So I beep, 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 beep. Finally, I realized, is that the wrong car? The car I had driven here was on this side of the street. I was on the wrong side of the street with the wrong car, pulling the handles on the wrong car. So I said, oh, I'm glad nobody saw me trying to break into his car. But isn't that what we do when we pray? No, I thought, gosh, no wonder that happened to me. It's exactly what I do. I'm pushing, pushing, pushing. The beeping sound isn't even coming from the car that I'm standing next to. It's coming from over there. Here I'm saying, doesn't this thing work? What's wrong with the handle? Is it broken? The battery, what is it? Am I doing it wrong? I mean, all the questions that you would ask are all not relevant to the reality. So this is what we do in prayer. It's a great model. We're pushing all the right buttons. Okay, Lord, I said the whole whatever. Novena. I said the prayer properly. I used the right language and the form, and I followed the rubrics. All I heard was a beeping sound. You didn't even answer me. The door is still locked. You said, "To the one who knocks, the door will be open." What's wrong with you? Am I doing it wrong, or is this the wrong technique? We're completely, we're just looking in the wrong direction. God is ready to open the door and give us what is good, the Holy Spirit. He's not ready to let us into any darn car that we walk into on the street or any other good thing or anything that appears to us as good. That's not what he is going to give us. Now, it's very hard for us to know what's good because we are limited and we're basically self-centered, and what we think is good is what we think God should think is good, and it's not necessarily so. That's why it's possible for God to say, "Oh, you stupid Galatians," because look at what the Galatians are doing. Paul is telling them to live by faith, to live trust in God, not to trust in the prescriptions of the Jewish law, not to think that you have to follow everything that was presented beforehand and do it right before you can be acceptable to God. And they say, wait a minute. Somebody's telling me I better make sure I eat the right foods and I follow the right purification rituals and make sure everyone's circumcised. And Paul said, wait a minute now. You're going back to thinking that it's all about you and what you do again. That's really stupid. Prayer is not about you performing properly to make God do what you want him to do. That's not prayer. So don't begin in the spirit and end in the flesh. Don't start with the right idea of prayer and then go back to, I'm going to make God give me 3 loaves of bread. Or I'll judge him for being a bad God or a bad father. That's why Paul is so strong, because he's saying, look at, if you have received the Spirit. Now, this is the same Spirit that Jesus talks about. The Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. If you receive the Spirit, live in the Spirit. Live by the power of the Spirit, not by your own power. The one who supplies the Spirit to you and works mighty deeds among you, does he do so from works of the law or from faith in what you heard? Is it because you're such a great person or because God is such a great God? I hope the answer is obvious. God is a great God, and that's why prayer is a great thing to do. Even if it seems like nothing's happening, prayer is a great work. That's why someone like today's saint, Saint Bruno, could withdraw into a remote mountain and hang out by himself for months at a time and not waste his time. Because prayer is so great, prayer is so powerful, prayer opens the door for God to work the way he wants to work. Real prayer is abandonment to God and love of God and thanks to God, worship of God, and also appealing to God for him to do good things to those in need. That's all prayer. Whether we get what we want or not is not even in the top 10. I mean, that's just part of prayer. But God is on top, and his will be done. So just a few reflections on this. When we had the experience of being locked out of a car, or experience of being locked out of a house, or not having what we need to provide for our friends, it doesn't mean that prayer doesn't work. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It means we have to reorient ourselves and listen deeply and let God be in charge. Amen.